One of the most meditative and scenic pleasures of living on Cape Cod is the perk of walks on endless stretches of local beaches at sunset. My colleague, the Reverend Bill Clark, who lives in Provincetown, Massachusetts, is often heard rhapsodizing about the gifts at his sandy feet, and he shares one particular memory with us of one of those dusky strolls at Race Point Beach. As Bill was walking along the beach, he encountered a woman standing at the ocean's edge shouting, "Blessings, come! Blessings, come! Blessings, come!" In Bill's ever-ministerial mind, it appeared that she was beseeching the universe to salve some pain or answer some prayer. He felt the pastoral urge, and he approached her, identifying himself as a minister and noting that he had overheard her plea. "Blessings come, blessings come, blessings come." "I'll lend a listening ear and an open heart if you wish," he offered. The woman looked confused at first and then just burst out laughing hysterically. Bill was puzzled but quite intrigued. Finally, she pulled herself together and spoke. "Blessings is the name of my dog," she explained. "He's a rescue mutt, black and white, and he has run off, and I was calling him back. You see, Blessings doesn't always come when I call. But thanks so much anyway. I appreciate your concern." And then she went back to the task at hand. "Blessings come, blessings come, blessings come." Bill remembers that he continued down the beach, kind of blushing, and in his words, keeping an eye out for blessings. If you have ever owned a pet, you will appreciate the sweet metaphor here of a dog named Blessings. And you'll likely identify with the owner's plight of her beloved but disobedient pup not always coming when she calls. Our creation story earlier that Christina read to us suggests that God created pets to ease the loneliness of humans, and that has not changed, has it? We own our pets, but they are more than our possessions. Social scientists also argue that pet keeping is an intrinsic part of our human nature, one rooted in our species' evolution. Of course, pets can also vex us and frustrate us. Yet these are small annoyances and are minor compared to the benefits we reap from developing long-term relationships with our furry friends, especially dogs and cats. But not everyone would agree. Take the parent in this poem by Judith Viorst called "Mother Doesn't Want a Dog." Mother doesn't want a dog. Mother says they smell and never sit when you say sit or even when you yell. And when you come home late at night and there's ice and snow, you have to go back out because the dumb dog has to go. Mother doesn't want a dog. Mother says they shed and always let the strangers in and bark at friends instead and do disgusting things on rugs and track mud on the floor and flop upon your bed at night and snore that doggy snore. Mother doesn't want a dog. She's making a mistake, because more than a dog, I think, she will not want this snake. I would agree with the child here. Dogs over snakes any day of the week. Now, cat lovers may be shaking their heads now and smirking. Dogs drool, cats rule, right? And if you scroll through Facebook this time of year, you will catch hints of the essential differences between dogs with their smiley, eager-to-please faces and their reindeer ears, and cats side-eyeing the camera next to broken tree ornaments and shredded wrapping paper. Dog lovers are like, what is the point of a cat anyway? They can't fetch a frisbee or hike on a trail with you. And cat lovers are like, oh yeah, did they create a whole Tony-winning musical about dogs, huh? Now, I was a cat owner through my entire childhood and my children's growing up years. And blessings came aplenty. There were the Siamese cats of my youth, Coco, and then Princess, or Prinny, as we called her, vocal little buggers who taught me about responsibility even when the job was kind of stinky, because litter boxes back then were very utilitarian, and with none of this high-tech odor-reducing litter we have today. And it was one of the ways I earned my allowance, so my children helped care for an occasionally mildly tormented Crockett, a sweet orange and white calico who was once glanced lightly by a car and came to be known as the Forrest Gump of cats. My son named him at age 5, at the height of his Davy Crockett obsession phase, and he was a mainstay of their childhood and lived to be 16. My daughter Michaela was especially fond of kittens that were a fixture at the country home of our friends in Vermont. As a wee 2-year-old, she would beseech me to let her hold one of them with the promise, I be gentle, and that's just what cats offer us, a chance to learn gentleness and to develop a thick skin, too. Especially when Kitty appears to express what animal researchers call healthy narcissism in felines. The satirical poet Ogden Nash sums it up well in his poem, The Cat. He writes, "You get a wife, you get a house, eventually you get a mouse. You get some words regarding mice, you get a kitty in the thrice. By 2 a.m. or thereabouts, the mouse is in, the cat is out, it dawns upon you in your cot. The mouse is silent, the cat is not. Instead of kitty, says your spouse, you should get another mouse." I reckon cat lovers will stick with their fabulous felines and skip the mice. Now, in my 50s, I inexplicably morphed into a dog person, or maybe claimed my inherent destiny as one, and more blessings came along with my Southern rescue dog named Kip. And just as my son Sam made me a mother 32 years ago today, this sweet American bulldog mix with a limp made me a dog owner and taught me the lessons dogs teach us about being human. My current dog, Miss Billy, also a Southern rescue from Tennessee, continues to model for me every day the unconditional love that canines embody. She is my boon companion and a precious member of my family. For all of us, the psychological benefits of caring for a pet are numerous. Along with their ever-present positive regard, another scientific term, they tend to just radiate goodness, and they teach us to reciprocate love and caretaking. You may not know that stroking or cuddling our pets releases the happiness hormone, oxytocin. It focuses our attention and can even mimic meditation and have the same effect. Pet ownership has also been shown over and over to help children develop empathy. When they are well cared for, our pets, like the hospitable friendly beasts in the nativity manger, also model gratitude and generosity with more consistency than many humans. So we bless them this morning, those living and those past. And as for that rescue mutt that went missing on the beach, he returned. Bill recalls how the dog and the owner reunited with laughs and leaps and face licking and walked off connected, leash to hand, heart to heart, against the dusky backdrop of the Atlantic. Like the god who got a dog in the Cynthia Ryland poem we heard earlier, one can imagine that blessings would be keeping her beloved owner's toes warm that night. Blessed be.